Hi, this is Dave Dufour, and I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the upcoming episode that you're about to hear. This episode was recorded before the 2013 ACT Fest, which took place at Carmel, Indiana, from June 17th through 22nd. I was there, and I haven't talked a lot about this with our Theater Geeks audience, but the play that I directed for Elkhart Civic Theater, my home theater, was chosen to go to the national competition. We were one of 12 shows competing at the national level. We took away a couple of awards. We did not place, but we felt that we did very, very well and were very proud to have been there. I'm going to be talking more about that in upcoming episodes, and hopefully we're going to have some interviews with a few of the people associated with ACT Fest and perhaps some of the other theaters. But the episode that you're going to hear right now we're talking about festival and the value of it, etc., but this was recorded before we actually went to festival. More about festival in upcoming episodes, but for now, here is an episode that we recorded before that time. So on with the current episode of Theater Geeks.
This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shelp.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hello, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. This week, we are going to be talking about festival. And for those of you who are active in community theater, you may know what that's all about. But basically, festival is the competitive end of community theater. And there are state, regional, and national festivals every 2 years. There's actually state festivals every year, but the regional and national progression doesn't happen except every other year, and that is sponsored set up by the AACT, the American Association of Community Theaters. And so that is happening this year. Coincidentally, we thought we would talk about this a little bit, but a show that we are doing here at our home theater, Elkhart Civic Theater, which is an adaptation of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, has gone through the progression and will be appearing at the competing at the National Festival in Carmel, Indiana. Believe it or not, right down the road from us, in June of this year. So one of the things we thought we would talk about is just a little bit about, you know, what do theaters have to do when they're thinking about getting involved in festival? I mean, a lot of theaters don't get involved. There is cost involved. Mm-hmm. There are, and we can talk a little bit about that, and we've had to do fundraising to progress ourselves from, you know, beyond the state level, certainly. But also there's just certain things that you have to be prepared for in terms of just how it works. First thing is you have to take a play that you are producing already and cut it to an hour excerpt, which is the competitive excerpt. That's usually sure. Usually how it works.
And it doesn't have to be a play that you're currently producing. That's, I guess, an old rule, actually. We always here in our theater do, but some theaters actually will select a play or a short play even that they can put inside 1 hour.
Right. Yeah.
And they'll produce that just specifically for festivals. So, mm-hmm. In the long run, it's what is the material that you should select up front, I guess, for a festival? The more I listen to the adjudicators, the more it sounds like they're looking for unknown, unusual pieces.
I think that tends to be things that do well in general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know if that's 100% true.
Well, but not necessarily.
It does happen quite a lot.
We took A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which is a fairly well-known musical, you know, and we took that to festival and went to nationals a few years ago, ten years ago.
Wow.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be an unknown piece, but what they do say that is if you are taking a known piece, then you need to give them a completely new view of it so that it's not something that they've seen over and over and over again, because some shows are done a lot, and so they want to see a new take on it.
Well, I have to ask you, do you think that's fair?
No, I don't. But that's, I'm just telling you what they say. I think
that's ridiculous. I was going to say, if you do Shakespeare, do you have to do a new take on it? If you do everybody Shakespeare is not really
Baz
well,
Luhrmann, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Well, really,
should be Baz Luhrmann. Not yeah. That doesn't always work either. So
right, right.
All well, I have it, to say,
one of the things about the show, if you take a longer work, a work that is, you know, plays longer than an hour, you have to cut it mm-hmm. to the point where it is an hour,
and, or to take just one act,
or take just one act. But regardless of what you end up doing, you have to have permission to do that. And I think it's, some theaters don't realize that you can't just go, you know, okay, we're going to do an excerpt and we're just going to go.
Right.
There's a contractual angle to that that has to be covered.
And every author has the right to say whether or not they want their work to be cut. And they also have the right to say no cut. You know, you can do an excerpt, but you're not allowed to do a cut. So some authors say, sure, go ahead and if you want to reduce the whole show, 2-hour show down to 56 minutes, that's great.
Right.
But some authors actually, was it Arthur Miller who said, under no circumstances will you cut. And if you do, I have to write the cut for you.
Wow.
And so
and his play certainly could be cut.
Neil Simon's the same way. He has actually written cuts or created the cuts for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you may even pay for that version then of the cut show, because he has actually done the cut, because that way it's his view of the whole thing.
I understand why some authors would want to do that, basically because, you know, they don't want to have something go out that doesn't look like their show, or right. they worry about that anyway. But it's still got their name on it. You right. know, it's the same.
Well, and you know, and sometimes people will cut and they'll to get the time down or whatever. They don't necessarily think about the story of the show or mm-hmm. what the underlying true meaning of the show is. And so sometimes the cut will get rid of the meaning of the show. And when that happens, then you run into problems with adjudicators, because the adjudicators get the full script plus they get the cut version. And so when they see the two opposite each other, they'll know if you've kind of missed the point. You know, that and that happens sometimes.
Well, or they know the show because they've seen it.
I'm trying to remember, we actually had a cut like that one time, and I don't remember what the show is now, and I wish I could remember what it was, but they said, you know, with your cut you actually missed the point of the show, or you took what we would consider to be the point out of it, and the story was still there, but what they would consider maybe the heart of the story was missing.
Right.
With our cutting for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, I think one of the things that Dave and Randy did really well was that they kept the heart and that idea of the dichotomy of the human nature was still there inside the script, even though a lot of it was removed because it just seemed extraneous.
And as we worked with it, we realized there were other things that said, you know, you really, because they say this later, this information here could come out because you don't need to say it twice
right.
for the excerpt. And it saved us time. But
we even had qualifications where with our cut, where we were not allowed to cut individual lines or small little things. We had to cut groups or large chunks of text.
Yeah, we
is the only way we could cut that show. Huh. So we had to remove chunks of text.
Yeah,
instead.
we were pretty, and it made it hard because this adaptation is relatively tightly written, but you know, the more you work with it, the more you realize, okay, yeah, there is some stuff that doesn't have to be there for a 1-hour excerpt. It's stuff that adds to the show, certainly. But I mean, I would say that there were at least two whole scenes that were removed,
right.
And
you don't really miss them.
You don't miss them.
They're great when you see them in context with the entire show, but in the cut, you don't really miss them.
No, and in fact, of course, that's all brings up the other point is sometimes the cut versions are really kind of better than some plays. I mean,
I didn't want to say that, but actually,
I think that a lot of times, because you realize that, boy, this could be tighter right here. This is just a totally useless element, you know, and you can take it out. And so, you know, I think it's kind of fun to see how tight you can make a production like that.
But after you do that, then of course, then there's getting the permission, of course, after to get that
Right, the cut has to be
from the royalty company. Right, yeah. So either the musical company, if you're doing a musical, like Music Theater International, will have to give you that right, or you'll have to get the rights from dramatists or Samuel French or whoever is writing, you know, or handling those royalties.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a matter of the rehearsal process, which can be a nightmare, trying to put people back together again and reschedule everything.
Yeah, and I, you know, from experience, I will tell you that I think it's much more difficult to have to go back and rememorize something that's been cut when you've been doing it in production full out, and all of a sudden there is a chunk that's no longer there, and if you forget it's no longer there, you know, you're really kind of screwed because it goes on.
Well,
and
on. The other thing is that there may not be you run the risk of taking out something that really adds some emotional depth to a character, and the actor doesn't quite know what to do then. You know, they can't quite get back to the same place with the emotions that they could when those lines were there. That happens. Yes.
Nothing. I was going to say that even before you start writing for permission or looking to cut, if you're planning to go to a festival, it, as John well knows, it behooves you to look ahead at the season that's coming up and see what play would be, or musical, would be the best one to take, and then how do you design it so that it moves easily?
Right. Yeah.
Because you only have 10 minutes tops to set up your set.
Yeah, and
at our state level, only 5 minutes and then to tear it down. So.
Yeah. So you have to go through, and maybe even before you're setting your season, think, well, this is something that you know, we have to look ahead and see, is this easily movable, or is it going to be such a big production that it's useless to try and take it even?
Right. Well, if you're doing a show that's, you know, fairly simple, it's just, you know, a chair and two tables or a chair.
Well,
you know,
but
that's
how many
easy.
Today are a chair and two tables?
Well, yeah, not too many, no.
Yeah.
And I'm always asked, why do you bring so much scenery? And I always design for festival.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Well, I am, but I design for festival. But then also I like for people to be able to see the show almost like it would have been in our own environment here.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you know, why not? If you know you're going to travel it and you've made that decision a season in advance, then you can kind of design for that in your brain and make that allowance. And then
our setup for this show involves a backdrop, and that's probably, even though that doesn't sound like a lot, that's probably the most time consuming aspect of the setup.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it is not that big a deal. We've got platforms and things like that, but we work things out with wheels, and we've got enough cast and crew that that comes out. We can do it in, I bet, 3-4 minutes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a question. Mm-hmm. The set is one thing about taking. What do you do about lights? Jekyll and Hyde is very dependent on the effects that you get with lights.
Well, those
now,
lights...
what do you do when you're used to having it in your home theater and you've set them the way you want them? Then you get into at least one different theater. You don't have time to reset the lights. How do you work with that?
Well, we had at the state festival, they had specials set up that we could use, and they were sort of like standard. This is the setup, and we worked within that.
That's what you get.
And and we just have a very good light operator. My assistant director is very good with that.
Yeah, it's Randy Zonker, by the way. We've said Randy, but we've never said
Randy
Zonker.
Well, anyway, at regionals, we were actually allowed during our tech time. You get a tech time, and at our state, it was an hour. At our regional, it was an hour and 40 minutes, so we had more time, and we could actually set specific lights in specific spots for our show.
So they made 4 specials available to every company that was there, and those specials were set before the show started, you know, during our tech time, and then they just stayed. We never had to worry about them.
We never had to worry about them.
And at the national level, you have that same option.
And Randy was able to set the lights and then record the cues onto a floppy disk.
Wow.
And then come back when we did our show the next day. We came in, he put it in, and we were there.
Everything was right there.
So except that we think, and this is nobody's fault, but we think that one of the lights moved.
Yeah.
Because it was one of our specials, because one of our actors was just not in his light and had to find it when we had the floor marked. So, and we do get to, that was what was nice about regionals is we were able to spike the floor for during the tech time so that the platform could come out and say, yep, that's where it goes, bang, and it went down. So, and I think we get to do that at nationals.
Yeah,
so we're,
you do.
We're going to find out about
so it's,
that.
So I think it's important that, as you were saying, you know, you just make sure that you have a show that can travel, and then if you... You can do things with lights. We actually travel with our own special lights. So we travel with our own footlights, and we're traveling with our own row lights, ground row lights for the psych.
But those were run off stage,
and they're all
here
run off
too.
They were all run off stage here, and
so they were still, not run. They were run. They're being run at festival the same way they were run here.
Right. And that's, and so that's another thing. As since we knew this show was going to be our festival show, we did a lot of that work specifically. So that people, those things ran like they would run at festival. So, but you know, and then of course there's always the fundraising aspect that a lot of theaters have to remember up front. And it can be very daunting, especially as you get up to the national level, because even though we're in state for our national festival this year, so we're in the same state the national festival is being hosted, this event could cost anywhere between $6,000 to $7,000 for us to be able to attend.
Right. Yeah. And so we're obviously talking to people who can donate and companies that can donate, and actually, you know, and one of the things I think for any theater is, you know, especially if you get to the national level, but even at regional, you know, it's a special thing for a local community to have a theater going. You know, we're representing the community. We're, you know, kind of showing what we can do with the arts here, and our people learn a lot at festivals, which brings kind of to the other question, which is,
why do it?
Why do it? Yeah, because it is a lot of work.
Okay,
and,
the other
and a lot
thing
of money.
Is
and a lot
the
of
other
money.
Thing is the human factor. Mm-hmm. Which, okay, you've got your set designed so it can travel and your lights. Now, obviously, they have the dates and locations for state, regional, and national festivals set up every year. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when you go into casting this show that you want to take to festival, is that again part of the casting process? Do you make sure that everyone that is cast is available to go on however they, you know, long you get to go?
Yes.
Yes. And
because
and
I remember one show that got shot because the main character had made other plans and was not available.
Well, it happens. And I mean, it still can happen, even if you think and you know, even if you plan ahead, it's a little bit odd because some of the festival dates you don't get kind of until late in the game. And so it's sometimes it seems a little hard to plan, but we started Jekyll and Hyde in October. I mean, we will have been with this show for close to 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, we had a break
a
in the middle.
It's a big chunk of time.
It's a big chunk of time. But people knew, and and this cast has been pretty good about being saying, yes, no, I'm not dropping out, et cetera. I mean, they're not, there's not a problem.
But it can be a problem for the theater, though, and that's something that you have to look toward as well, which is that, you know, we have a show that has five men and three women or whatever in it. We're taking those resources away from potential other shows where those actors might have been also valuable.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to make sure that your talent pool is large enough, hopefully, to be able to accommodate the loss of a group of people for a large period of time.
Which sort of makes a case for small shows going to festivals.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing, too, the other thing, too, is that, you know, you aren't going to get to rehearse in your theater. If your theater has shows going on, your festival piece may get to rehearse elsewhere.
Warehouse number one.
Yeah. We were warehouse 13. We were really glad to get it. One of the local factories here has it's a, one of the, we're in RV country, so we were in RV factory. And, but we were rehearsing in there when in February.
Yeah.
It was pretty cold.
It was cold. Yeah. And we've pretty much rehearsed in factories for the last, I don't know how many years, because, the local schools, after 9/11, which I think is interesting, the local schools started to shut kind of down in their openness to allow people into their buildings, which is completely understandable.
Right.
And so where we had been rehearsing maybe in school auditoriums up to that point, suddenly they weren't available to us anymore. And we ended up in factories. But it's been nice to have people open their doors and at least allow us to have, because you need a huge amount of space.
You need a large floor space to approximate your stage.
For example, we're going from a 17-foot proscenium. to a 50-foot proscenium at some of these festival locations, and you need to be able to expand the floor space to accommodate that.
We're on a little bit of a hiatus right now, and we're probably going to do a few rehearsals in smaller spaces, maybe a couple of things we may even be able to do in people's homes, but we're going to have a place to set up and you know, have the full space again so that people can get themselves back into the, in gear. So that's going to happen in a little while here. But,
well, anyway, I guess,
but the
I
question,
guess,
why so go? Why?
Yeah, after you go through all this, what's the payoff? I mean, the fact that you all know that you've advanced to the national level, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
How do you translate that into good PR and ticket sales?
Yeah. I don't know if it, I am going to say, I don't know if it translates into ticket sales.
Well,
I wish it did. Yeah. I'm not sure it does. I do think that it's helpful to when a performer or a new performer is looking at your community theater and you can say, look, we are an award-winning community theater.
Yes.
We do really good work in our building and we've been recognized for that work that we do. And so why not come and play with us? You know,
so it's a good recruiting tool. From
I think
that
it can
standpoint.
Be a good recruiting tool.
I think that, you know, and maybe we have never done a real good job with it, but I think that it's something that is certainly promotable.
Mm-hmm.
And it will get your, you know, foot in the door, so to speak, with some media, depending on what you're trying to do.
Well, and all of our publicity that goes out, at least we are able to truly say we are an award-winning community theater.
Right. Yeah.
So in our annual brochure, in our season program, on our message machine here at the theater, I can say, and truthfully say, we are an award-winning community theater, and I think that makes a difference.
And I think the other side of it too is that that it's from an educational standpoint. If you're artistic director, and if your other sort of more active people are involved in going to festival, and your actors as well, everybody learns a lot. I think that they bring a lot of that knowledge back and can apply it and even teach it to other people
in your
community theater. So I think that there's a lot of value there. I mean, you can go to the festival without competing and watch.
Yeah.
But being part of it, I think, adds quite
a
lot.
But every time you listen to an adjudication where those people are trained to not just – critique, but to kind of teach as well about what you're doing wrong and how to make it better, how you can make it better. That helps when you, like Dave said, when you come back into your regular shows, and hopefully people bring that stuff in their brains and retain it, you know, diction and projection and characterization and staging and images on stage and how you, you know, so for the director to listen to those things, for actors to listen to those things, and to know that maybe we harp on it, but there's a reason why we harp on it in rehearsal. You know, and hopefully that will translate itself back into even better productions in the future.
Well,
all right.
Okay. Well, answer my question.
There we go.
I don't know. If Marcia
we need
still
to wrap
agrees,
this one up because we got more production to do here. Please be sure to stop by the website at www.theatergeeks.com, and also go to our online store where you can buy all kinds of hats, mugs, T-shirts,
great mugs,
and underwear, and all that kind of.
Say it.
You didn't say it this time. Anyway, so that's all from us here. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.